we had already established a cycle of trust and obey. And still, I will say on a regular basis, still completely laid flat by this whole idea of what we're doing and that I would have any leadership in it at all. I had to get a layer of trust with him that I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know anything about radio. You're going to have to show me the way, God. And we see that again in our finances. We don't know how we're going to pay the bills. We don't. We do not. We sit down as a board once a month and we kind of look around and we're like, we'll see.
Welcome to Study with Friends. We're a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through His Word. This week is part 4 of our study in the book of 1 John. If you need to catch up with us, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online or search us on iTunes. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We provide inspiration and encouragement in your feed every day. Let's talk a little more about trust and obedience in the book of 1 John.
1 John 5:20 and 21. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. We are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols.
He just threw that in.
I know, really.
Yeah. Did that bizarre. Frustrate you a little bit?
It was a little bizarre. Yeah. It was almost like, oh, P.S.
It's just John.
Yeah.
It's just John.
Yeah. John is unique.
He is. And he, this is one of the reasons I so kept reiterating the circular nature, because if you don't accept that is his communication style, you might think he's got a problem. As I said before, it's very tied into why he wrote the book and who he was writing to. Mm-hmm. But to us, it's like random.
Yeah.
But it's still worth knowing and listening to.
No, it is funny, but when you just, it's one of those things that when you read it,
it's jarring.
You're like, okay. And then you think, well, he was writing a letter. And I just, you know, in my mind, I pictured, yo, P.S.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. P.S.
Like, you guys have a problem.
Keep yourself from idols. I mean, but you know what? When you, when I dropped my kids off in elementary school, usually I drive them in the morning and then I let them take the bus. That's kind of been our pattern. Mm-hmm. When they were little and I would drive them to school, what was the last thing I would say to them? Make good choices. Mm-hmm. Be good. Mm-hmm. It's like that last thing you want them to hear before you depart. So I think he did better saying he is the true God and eternal life. That would have been a great ender.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you know, when you're trying to communicate with someone, you're like, oh, one more thing. I just don't want to leave without saying this one more time. So it could be that. But where did you guys put this particular section in your circle?
Well, I started out saying trust, but then that leads to obedience, which is this whole circle again. Yep.
That's right. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Carol?
Well, just that it starts out, so we know, which would lead me to think trust. We know that also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we are in Him. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
there's
I think
a lot of trust in there.
There is.
There didn't seem to be an action. There didn't seem to be a response. Yeah.
Well, it's that 21 that forces you to say that's obedience.
Yeah.
I think.
Make good choices.
Make good choices. Make good choices. Be kind. Okay, now let's really get to where real life is going on here. Are there any examples you can give from your own life? Well, first, do you agree with the precept here that first of all, this book is largely about learning to trust and obey and link those things together? Do you agree that that's the main message that John was delivering in this letter?
Yes.
Certainly seems that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't ever want to make assumptions. If you think I missed the mark, you should say so. Can you give examples from your own life that make this more relevant to you? You want me to start? Okay. So we talked a little bit ago about the ministry and this whole thing that we're doing right now, which, you know, God gave me a vision for this ministry and it looked just like this in my head. I get a lot of communication that happens from God to me, comes in like pictures in my head. And I had a picture in my head of what this was supposed to look like. And so Of course, I struggled through the whole obedience of pushing forward in this vision that I felt God had given me, because it was scary, which required
trust.
Thank you. And then it was like hard to do. It's hard to do something from scratch. And I was like, that's a lot of work. So that was an obedience problem. But let me say obviously I got through that because here we sit, but God mercifully brought me through it. I did not get through it. I'm no way, shape, or form did I get through it on my own. No way, shape, or form. There were times when he was dragging me. There were times when I mean, like a toddler, you know, through this process, kicking and screaming and not wanting to take this on because it freaked me out. I was scared. I was scared of it. And the thing that I want to lift up from my experience is the connection between trust and obedience, because I didn't just have to trust the vision that he gave me. I had to trust that he would overcome my shortcomings to accomplish it. And that's a whole nother layer of trust for me. Trusting that he wants this to happen and moving forward in something I feel capable of doing is one thing. Trusting and moving forward in something I feel incapable of doing means I have to take that layer of trust way down deep to say, I can't do this. I don't know how. When radio was proposed to us, we did not seek radio out. Radio sought this ministry out, and it freaked me out again just when I had found my sea legs and the whole idea of working for God and doing a ministry. Like, radio plopped into our lap, and I was fetal position. I was really like curled up in my room, freaking out, knowing that I could not do that. I can't do that. And it was a layer of trust that had to be so deep, but that God had already started working out in me because he gave me a little bit at a time. Trust me with this and we'll do it together. Just take the next step. Just do the next thing. Don't worry about where it's going. Don't worry about where we're going to end. Just do the website. Just write the Bible studies, just do the phone calls, whatever it was that was the next thing. And then radio, we had already established a cycle of trust and obey. And still, I will say on a regular basis, still completely laid flat by this whole idea of what we're doing and that I would have any leadership in it at all, hot mess that I am. I had to get a layer of trust with him that I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know anything about radio. You're going to have to show me the way, God. And we see that again in our finances. We don't know how we're going to pay the bills. We don't. We do not. We sit down as a board once a month and we kind of look around and we're like, we'll see. And God is good. And every time we are almost at a shortfall, or we've never gone into debt, never. And every time we are close to not having enough money, something happens. Someone, a listener sends a check, or a donor who loves what we're doing and appreciates what we're trying to accomplish sends a check without being asked. And we're just floored by that. And that's another trust, obey. Keep doing the work, sign the contract with the radio station that you are going to pay your bill, and trust, obey, and trust, obey, and trust. And in this space, the more I do that, the deeper I go with my Savior. And the more intimately I know him, and the more I trust him, and the more freely I feel like I can obey him, not just in the ministry, but in every way. Because the lessons I learn here are applicable to trusting my children to him, trusting my husband to him, trusting my safety to him, all the things that matter most to me. Not that the ministry doesn't matter most to me, but look, it's not my husband and my kids. And so for me, that's been an exercise in this entire cycle, to do what he's calling me to do, even when I'm scared, to trust that he'll overcome even me and all the stuff that I can't do. He's bigger than that. He's better than that. He knows everything that needs to be known to get me to the end, wherever that end may be. Trusting even when I don't see the whole script, the whole plan. I'm a girl who likes a plan. I have a 3-year plan for the division that I run of the company that is my day job, not the ministry. Of course I have a 3-year plan. You know, like, this is where we're going, and this is how we're going to get there. there's no 3-year plan with this ministry. I have no idea where he's going to take it, what he's going to do next. But I know that as long as I keep doing what he's asking me to do. And by the way, I love this. Like, I love sitting around the table with you guys. So it's not like I'm, you know, begrudging. Now I'm comfortable. Now I'm happy. Now I love it. And it's a blessing. But it was scary. And that was an obedience, forced obedience. Like, I'm going to have to do this because I feel so convicted. For a whole year after the vision of this ministry, I did not obey. I was in full-on disobedience. Now I was still attending church, going to Bible study, having relationships. I was in my Christian life, but in this area, I was not obeying. And I felt him more and more pulling on my heart like, okay, we need to do this. I'm calling you to do this. And so it was just forced obedience. I was like, I just have to do it, whether I want to do it, whether I think I can do it, whether I trust that I heard the vision the right way. I mean, this is all in my head. You know what I mean? Like, think about that. Just in your head, and you think to yourself, did I get it right? Am I crazy? Yes, all those things. I am crazy. But God is bigger than my crazy. That's the point. So that's one from my life. And it's very relevant as we sit around this table because, well, for the obvious reasons. So I started. Now you guys jump in.
The fact that I'm sitting at this table today is a testimony to obedience and trust. When Holly first said she'd love me to sit in on one of these sessions, I just looked at her and rolled my eyes. I'm not a speaker person. I can talk to people one-on-one. That's my style. But not getting in front of a group. And this is very cozy and friendly, but there's a whole group of people listening out there.
Scary.
And I just remembered when God called Moses at the burning bush, and Moses kept giving every excuse. Send somebody else, Lord. You don't want me to go to Egypt. I can't speak. I can't do anything. I'm not eloquent. And God just patiently said, do it. So here we are.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. And you know what? I'm going to call you out a little bit, because when I asked you to be on the board, there was a little reluctance too.
Yes.
And I was just like, I need you there. Like, I just knew I needed her there. Whether she was on the board or not, I was going to be asking her for advice. So I was like, you might as well like sit on the board. Which I appreciate, because she's someone who's a role model to me about setting boundaries to not commit to something you can't really do well. But I agree that it's a testimony to trust that you're here. And I'm so glad you're here.
It just made me think of the talk I heard back when I was in high school that led me to Christ, was on the abundant life, and how if we gave our lives to Jesus and followed his commandments and believed in him, that he would reward us with eternal life, an abundant life. And so when I think about, I trusted that, something resonated in my soul, like almost like I was the only person in the room. I was in a room with like 200 high school kids, and I felt like I was the only person in the room. And I heard that message and I trusted that it was true. And I made life choices for many years, not doing things that other kids were doing, you know, partying, you know, that drinking, that kind of stuff. You know, kept myself pure, all these choices that I made trusting, because I trusted God was going to give me this abundant life, whatever that was going to look like. And now here I am 30 some years later with a more abundant life than I could have ever imagined for myself in many different aspects. And I believe that it's a logical result of trusting God and being faithful over many years in many small decisions. So again,
what would you call that faithfulness in making good decisions? Might it start with an O?
I know.
Obedience.
Right? I mean, I just couldn't. I was like, say it. Say the word.
Yeah. Right. So the cycle, you know, is the Christian life. You know, it is really.
And the reward for one is the other.
Right.
And the work of one is the other. The work of trust is obedience. And the work of obedience is additional trust. Do you think I'm saying
more reward of obedience is deeper trust.
Yeah. What did I say?
Yeah.
You said
the work of it. Well, like the product. The product.
Yeah.
I'm slow. A little stupid.
You're not.
I know. I look back and I've made, especially younger, poor choices just due to reasons we won't get into. But and then it's kind of been like a, you know, almost like a eye opener type of thing. like our kids, you make poor choices, there's consequences, or you know, even if the consequence is how you feel. And again, I'm sure I have trust issues. I know I have trust issues. So for me, it's always action and then repetitive. And then, okay, yes, now I see. Now I get it. I feel as though I'm still trying to get this down. I'm not finished. And none of us are really finished. Yeah, I know. None of us are really finished. But there are still times where it's hard for me to obey in just the daily minutia of the day. It's easy for me to obey in theory and with the big stuff. It is. The little stuff is constantly bombarding me. And maybe I'm not the only one. And it can be little stuff in, you know, like I said earlier, how we react to a child being bullied and my knee-jerk reaction to that my kid and then stopping and sitting on it and, you know, using it as a teachable moment. Stupid stuff, you know, standing in line at pickup waiting for my son and there's gossip or chatter. That's what I mean, like a constant barrage of stuff that I feel like, you know, there are times I'm guilty of getting pulled in and I try harder every day not to. And then there are times where I realize when I stay in Bible studies, when I stay in the Word, when I, you know, we talked about it before, when I open up my Kindle and read the daily devotion first before email, social media, things like that, before, you know, even turning on the news, I get in a better place. It's daily checking in leads to a better day and how I handle stress, how I handle the rest of the day.
So like, what are the tools to keep you from doing that? Like, what are the tools that we use in our daily life that keep us on track? Because if we are part of agreeing to trust and obey, which we are on the hook, we are accountable to the Spirit's convicting. He's convicting us for a reason, and that is change. If we're accountable to our own behavior, habits and intentionality is a big part of that.
Yeah.
Big part of behavior. I mean, just now rushed through my head like 17 things that I do every day that are habit or intentionality, one or the other. And so if we create habit and intentionality around our spiritual health, and we jokingly said earlier, I mean, obviously, right now in my life, there was a time I was teaching Bible studies, doing triathlons, and really was doing pretty well. In like the spiritual health and the physical health. But I'm not doing as well right now with regular intentionality and good habits around my physical health. But I am very aware of my habits around my spiritual health because I'm accountable to like
right.
this ministry, right. sure, and teaching and whatever. And that, again, but my accountability was set forth by an intent. I said, yes, I will teach. So I've made an intentional choice. I think it's always really good for us to talk about the tools that we're using, the tips, because what you just said, we're all experiencing that. Mm-hmm. We are all experiencing that. None of us is above that. None of us is past that. Not on this side of heaven. None of us are. And so the question then becomes, how do I fight the battle on a daily basis down here in the trenches? Not on Sunday, although there's some moments on Sunday when your kids are little and they're distracting you, you're fighting that battle right there in the pew. You're like, I'm trying to stay focused right now. Yeah. But how are we trying to stay focused the other X number of hours of the week? And that's key. When we study God's word together and we have godly fellowship, you have to always bring it back to that and say, what are you doing? Well, let me share with you what I'm doing. And maybe sometimes it's the same. I hate to keep talking about weight, but it's the same with our weight or with our kids or with our friends. If I have a problem, I just talked to Marilyn this morning about a physical problem because she's a doctor, and I needed her input. Like, I needed to hear wisdom. Give me some tools to deal with this, because it has to do with my age and I'm crabby. Let's just leave. Crabby. I'm not sleeping well.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just leave it at that. Uh-huh. So this is what fellowship mm-hmm. is about. It's about iron sharpens iron. We help each other get better. We give each other ideas. So I do want to come back to that. And then you'll say again the tips and tools that you use to mm-hmm. keep yourself. And really, it's also an observation. Oh, I notice that when I'm in regular Bible study and when I'm in regular fellowship, I'm not as susceptible to those things.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just something that you observe yeah. before you become intentional about yeah. it. Like, oh, in this summer, when I'm not in regular Bible study and I see my godly girlfriends less because I haven't,
right.
whatever, everybody's traveling, whatever, I'm struggling more.
Yeah.
This is an observation you make. Mm-hmm. And then if you're intelligent, you turn your observation into an intention.
Right.
Oh, that means that in the summer, I'm going to have to do better about gathering something to me that holds me and my anchor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're gonna come back to that. But I love, Caroline, that you were very straightforward with the next question. Unless one of you guys wants any other trust. Oh, I think everybody actually gave an example. That was good. Do you struggle with more one than the other? And if so, do you wanna share why? Or you don't have to go too deep, nothing that you wouldn't feel comfortable with, but I think you've been really open.
Yeah, I think about, I honed so in far on what hits me
about, yeah. you know, it's harder for you to trust.
Mm-hmm.
You can force yourself to obey, but the feelings, the deeper part for you is slower coming.
Yep.
Fair. That's fair.
Yep.
Do you guys want to speak into that at all?
Well, initially looking at that question, I felt like obedience was harder for me.
I would say that you are very good at trusting. I observe that about you.
It's a process.
Well, you seem
and I'm
to
older
be
than the rest of you,
it.
So I've had more practice.
You seem very good at it. I mean, you had a recent, within the last 3 years, circumstance that I won't force you to share if you don't want to. But I remember being gobsmacked by your trust during that situation. I was like, wow, that is true faith.
I wasn't born that way, and it's a process. But then when I was saying obedience can be a problem, I realized that maybe sometimes my failure to obey is a failure to trust.
Yeah.
You know, if I really believe God's in control and that God loves me and wants the best for me, what's the problem? Do it.
Yeah. Sure. Easier said than done, though. Mm-hmm. But this sure. is what we're drawing the circle around and around and again.
Exactly.
That you can't really pluck one out and expect to let it stand on its own without the other. You really can't. You can't. I don't think you can have a deep trust without obedience. Like Carol just said a few minutes ago, the very first thing we do is trust. And then our trust goes deeper as we fellowship with God and we see that our obedience produces fruit. Then our trust gets deeper and deeper. But the very first thing we do is trust. When we believe, we trust that what he's saying is the truth. I don't think you can separate them.
Mm-hmm. I put that I struggle with obey in certain areas, like especially sharing my faith. I find that I don't. It's not a lack of desire or a lack of understanding that's important or a lack of understanding that God has directed us to do that. I don't have the words. And so I shy away from situations where I'll be asked to do that. And who knows what, if it's fear or if it's just lack of giftedness or whatever. So there's certain aspects of following Jesus' example that I struggle with.
Mm, that's good. Can I draw a connection? In my experience, I knew I was fully unable. I trusted that he would overcome even my lack of ability. So again, totally linked.
Right.
We are so glad you listened today. We believe these Bible studies can be a good resource no matter where you are in your spiritual journey. If you are new to the Bible, curious but not ready to go to church, this is a way you can explore. Or if you're a seasoned veteran of the faith, each time you study, you gain something more. Either way, we hope you found something in today's study that blessed you. We're listener supported, so we do rely on your prayers and financial support. February is the month of our annual fund drive. Would you prayerfully consider helping to financially steward the ministry of Study with Friends? You can donate easily online at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Honestly, hearing from you would make our day. We're always passing the emails around to celebrate that you cared enough to reach out, and we pray for you too. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll talk more about the book of 1 John. See you next time on Study with Friends.